If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, here we go.
Pac-12 fans. This one's for you.
Put your hands up, man.
This is the Pac-12 Apostles.
Keeping it real.
And only the truth lives here.
Pac-12 Apostles.
I'm George Reister. He's Ralph Amsden. And this is the Pac-12 Apostles. You guys, thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate your time, appreciate your energy. Make sure that you share the feed with everybody and let them know. And then we'll be on YouTube now. And make sure that you guys let everybody know that even though we are the Pac-12 Apostles now, we will soon be the College Football Apostles, where we will be covering the game the same way, but from a national perspective, because this conference realignment does not allow you to hit your wagon to anybody else anymore. But you guys can always hit us up. I'm Mad at unafraidshows.com. I-M-M-A-D at unafraidshow.com. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Pac-12 Apostles, or as our handles say here, at George Reister, at Ralph Amsden. So we always like to start the show off with your reviews, because we appreciate you, and we wouldn't be doing this without you. So Ralph Amsden, do we have new reviews today?
We got one. It's just a short and sweet 5-star review. It says, RIP Pac-12, long live the Apostles. And since you just announced what our new name will be, I got to go secure that Twitter handle so nobody else takes it.
Oh, damn. Boom. Got to secure that for the podcast that actually comes out. Good thing it's not live, because somebody would then be trying to charge us for it.
Right.
Mm-mm, not so fast, my friend. All right. So we still got a lot going on. The conference had, I would say the conference had a good week. I mean, granted, there were a couple of ranked teams that lost. One of them had to lose in that, you know, when you had USC and Washington. And I would say that that was the optimal result for the conference, not the optimal result for USC. And that led to a big firing. What could have, like, so Washington beat USC 52-42. What possible result could have saved Alex Grinch's job? Like against Washington, what could the score have been for him to not get fired on Sunday?
That last Washington score would have been a USC score, and I think they would have gotten away with it. I ultimately think that even if they had given up 45, as long as USC won, that Lincoln Riley was going to continue to Lincoln Riley was going to ride the Alex Grinch train until it wasn't up to him anymore. And when you get a primetime game with two Heisman candidates going head to head, and it ends with your star quarterback sobbing in his mother's arm, talking about cuddling puppies at the end of the game, you don't have a choice anymore. You broke your quarterback with your allegiance to your defensive coordinator.
So you believe that, well, I would tend to agree with you that if the team had made some sort of play, that like they did at the end of Arizona, like they did at the end of the week after Arizona, at Cal, you think he would have survived? At least another week.
I think so. I think at least another week. I think they probably should have kept him on to eat this L against Oregon just so that somebody else isn't responsible for it. Like, bad coaching plus chaos means it could actually be worse this week against the Ducks. I'm not convinced that you know, this was the right time to break things down. I think USC maybe has a shot against Oregon, considering Oregon's only weaknesses in the secondary. But I don't know, man. I think that defensively, you're about to eat probably another 50 burger, and you might as well have just put that on Alex Grinch's plate too, since you decided to waste your returning Heisman winner quarterback's entire season through an allegiance to a person that everyone has been telling you was garbage since your days in Oklahoma. It's always a tough pill to swallow for a major college football coach to have 99% of people tell you a thing and for you to push back against them and say that they're noobs and they don't understand it and they're not watching with a critical eye, and then to have to admit that they were right all along. This is going to be one of those things where, you know, USC fans were really excited to have Lincoln Riley in the fold, but they've got a long memory and they're not going to forget that one of their best opportunities to go to the college football playoff before going into an even more difficult Big Ten slate was wasted by their head coach intentionally over an issue of loyalty, over an objective mistake, an issue.
Okay,
of loyalty.
So can you? Okay, so can we actually like have a world where Lincoln Riley was thinking, all right, this is my second year at USC. I can bring Grinch back. We can get better players. And if we get better players, then because I actually believe that his scheme actually works. I believe in what he's actually doing. And I believe that if we can put different players around him, then maybe that's the answer.
Yeah, except that he already in his comments this year admitted that last year were effort issues. Issues of tackling and things like that. So,
I'm glad you brought that up because I think that that is going to be a fundamental issue in Lincoln Riley getting a good top tier defensive coordinator. Because if you go on their message boards, guess what two names they're throwing out?
What?
Just constantly. One of them is the most unrealistic thing that I have heard in quite some time, which is Will Muschamp. Muschamp is at Georgia. Okay. Do we believe, and I know that they feel like that they can get anything since they poached Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma, but do you believe that that Will Muschamp, who's a Southern man through and through, is coming out to California to coach a defense, and I promise you that him and Lincoln Riley aren't going to match philosophically. Do you know what Oregon was doing yesterday in practice? Live tackling drill. Live. That means full-fledged, all-out effort. Whatever happens, happens.
So football.
Yes. Do you think that Lincoln Riley is having live tackling at this point in time in the season?
No, because of probably anything that provides any downside for his offense is not going to be something I feel like he's interested in.
So if you're a top tier defensive coordinator and you are trying to pride yourself on physicality, granted, whether your philosophy is right, wrong, whatever, how does that match with Lincoln Riley when he wants to have his practices a certain way and you believe that they should be done a different way? Right. How does that work?
That's a great question. And I think the other question you have to ask is because you know you're bringing up Will Muschamp, and there's a regional allegiance there. There really is. Like Will Muschamp's a true believer in SEC football. You know, is he going to go to the USC faction of the Big Ten, the West Coast faction of the Big Ten? So maybe you look regionally, right? Who's the best defensive coordinator in your current region?
Okay, so
probably Morgan Scally. And is Morgan Scally ever leaving Salt Lake City?
Not until he's the head coach.
The original plan for him before he got in some trouble for the way he talks to his black
and
players.
Now they're trying to get him further and further away from that, I think. And he's about two, three years away from being able to transition there because it's going to be a problem with him going anywhere else because they're going to negative recruit and all that stuff. But he can make it in Utah with that. So... And the other name they bring up is Jim Leonard, who was the Wisconsin defensive coordinator. And granted,
I'm a huge, huge Jim Leonard fan.
Yep. Yeah. So if I were them, I would be calling over to Chip Kelly's defensive coordinator and be like, oh, they're paying you. How much are they paying them? 1.2, Ralph?
Something like that. Yeah.
I give you 2.4. Come over here. Give you 2.4. And then you consider that USC has question marks for next year at the quarterback position. Bro, there is a world where, and granted, Lincoln Riley, think about this. Lincoln Riley has had Baker Mayfield, Heisman winner. Kyler Murray, Heisman winner. Jalen Hurts, Heisman runner-up. Caleb Williams, Heisman winner. and doing well this year. Do you know how many playoff games he's won with those dudes?
Zero.
That's scary stuff, bro.
Yeah, because eventually it comes time to buckle down, get a stop. And you know, he at this point should have known that that wasn't going to happen. Like, you should know. You can't just know offensive football. You can't just be so good at running your offense that you just have to trust the entire defensive side of the football to somebody else because you can't even touch it. You can't be Cliff Kingsbury, right, who is on that USC staff. You know, the Alex Grinch thing is very simple. You have told your players that accountability for them matters, but accountability for your friends doesn't. Lincoln Riley threw away more credibility hanging on to Alex Grinch than doing really anything else. He has wasted very good quarterbacks' opportunities to win at the highest level. And that's, you know, I tell you what, man, if I was a player on the offensive side of the football, especially skill position, I still want to play for Lincoln Riley more than anything else. But everybody else kind of has to take pause. And I'm not trying to negative recruit against this program. It's just the truth. Let me put it in a way that makes sense. Washington ran for like 310 yards in the four games before they met up with USC. They ran for like 316 against USC. Dylan Johnson got 37% of his yards on the season against this defense, ran for more yards in a game than any Washington running back has run for since 1950.
Damn.
And are you ready for the stat that's going to blow your mind, George?
Okay.
199 of his 256 yards.
Pre-contact. Don't tell me. Pre-contact?
Pre-contact. He ran for 199 pre-contact. 199 pre-contact. That I've never heard of anything like that in my entire life.
That means you aren't even doing anything except being a speed bump. And you are literally a speed bump.
199 pre-contact. 37% of his total yards on the season in one game coming in week 10.
That's wild.
And the best performance by a running back at University of Washington in 73 years. The fact that Alex Grinch came out in the second half is a bigger indictment against Lincoln Riley than anything else he's ever gone through or done in his entire coaching
You're
career.
You're saying he should have tarmacked them at halftime?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He should not. That game mattered. That game mattered. USC was still in the running to win the Pac-12, and they left that game out of the running to win the Pac-12, and it happened at home. And you've had Joe and George on the street calling for Alex Grinch's head for two straight years. And Lincoln Riley's only been there for 2 years. So yeah. Like the idea that Lincoln Riley was more interested in being right to shove it in the face of your average Joe instead of make sure that his team was in the best position to win removes the ability for any USC fan to have full confidence in Lincoln Riley moving forward. They will only ever trust this man at an A-minus level. He could win three straight national championships. They're going to remember this one. Like that, it's just you have handicapped your ability for your own fan base to buy in. The same thing happened to Clay Helton. And right now, Lincoln Riley has a worse record than Clay Helton through
Yikers.
His first season and a half.
I'm going to be honest.
And a much better team.
That's not good, brother. That's not good. Yeah, so this team has a lot to figure out in USC. But
Connor Stallions is available.
Oh, he'll get you right. He will get you right.
I believe it.
All right, the next thing, hey, that man's a go-getter. Next thing up, the college football playoff rankings came out, and they shook up a lot for the Pac-12. You had Arizona breaking in there, not even at 25, 24, 23. They were like, move them boys up to 21 because they really should have been in there last week. Utah at 18. Then you got
Oregon State at 12.
Yep, Oregon State at 12. I was trying to find them boys. And then Oregon at 6, Washington at 5. I was mad as hell, Ralph. I was mad as hell watching the college football show last night. Because for 2 months, the banging on the drum, Pac-12 is the best conference in America. Maybe two Pac-12 teams should get in the playoff. And then you have Greg McElroy sitting up there on the program. And you guys, I have a video up on this on the YouTube channel. So go to George Reister on YouTube. Great video on this. I mean, if I have to say so myself. And about how the college football playoff is now biased against the Pac-12. I mean, it's been, but it's only getting worse at this point in time. Like, it's getting worse. And we're not getting ready to sit up here and act like it's not. So that's the first thing, is that, well, Greg, no, go on.
I agree with you, and I just want to point out that if you throw that graphic back up, what one loss team has done something to a ranked team in even the same ballpark that Oregon did at Utah?
Ralph, it doesn't.
That doesn't exist for any other team with one loss.
Yeah, but it's different. It's different though, Ralph, because Utah is now a mediocre football team.
Not according to the college football playoff ranking.
Correct. Bingo. And then the other part of it is they sat up here and Greg McElroy sat up here and was stamping for Texas. But what he was really doing was stamping for Alabama.
Right.
Because Texas has the best win. It's against Alabama. Dude, Alabama would lose to everybody in front of them right now. That does not look like a team that can beat the top tier teams. And then you had all the head shaking up there like, bro, this dude tripping. Like, I don't know where the hell this is coming from, this banging on Oregon. But you know what he was really doing? He was really positioning and trying to change the narrative, because when Kirk Herbstreit brought up, he said, well, then why don't you have that same energy for Michigan? Michigan played the 111th schedule so far. Oh, hold on. That's different. Let's leave the undefeated. This is totally different. Well, then Washington should be, by your logic, even though it is totally contradictory than the top six he put out yesterday. Well, the day before, his own personal top six. So then why don't you have that same energy for Michigan? Michigan's played nobody.
Right.
The best win that they have is against UNLV.
Yeah, and the pushback against Michigan, I can't tell if it's fair or unfair, because the pushback against Michigan is true insofar that they haven't earned the level of praise they're getting relative to the teams that have actually played real schedules. That's true. At the same time, the consistency of dominance of Michigan is commendable. Michigan has had more points at halftime in all nine games than all nine of their opponents have scored in the entire game combined. They could have quit at halftime of all nine games and still won.
Okay, how much of that is because their defense has the leg up on the other team?
It's true. But then you throw out the fact that Stanford almost beat Washington, that Arizona State almost beat Washington. And you can make an argument that Michigan belongs. What you can't do is argue that Michigan's schedule is good. There's no way to look at Michigan's schedule be like, oh, this is respectable.
So now peep this. What's upcoming this week? Michigan, Penn State. Penn State has played Ohio State. They lost. They looked miserable in that game. So you know that Michigan is not going to have an advantage with signs in this game unless Penn State is a bunch of dummies and they didn't change anything.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have that advantage. So if Penn State then turns around and beats Michigan this weekend,
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
How is the College Football Playoff Committee going to look at this? Because really, how good of a win is Michigan? We really don't know because they haven't played anybody good.
Yeah.
So then you're going to have Penn State probably jump up over Oregon. They're going to be talking about them maybe ahead of Washington. And then if Ole Miss beats Georgia this weekend, Lord have mercy. You are the best conference in America. Now all of a sudden they're going to be like, oh man, they're on the outside looking in. They're going to need something to happen in front of them.
Yeah, and it sucks because the reputation and brand matters, as you pointed out on your YouTube video, and it has the Pac-12 and ACC fans rooting for everything to just be normal, right? Because and one of these two conferences is probably going to get screwed, but they just want Georgia to win. It's better for Florida State if Georgia wins out. It's better for Florida State if Ohio State wins out, because then you're at least going to try to get in at the 3 and 4 position, right? And then it just comes down to, who is going to get that fourth spot. Because if Penn State beats Michigan, then we enter that weird tiebreaker scenario where if Michigan beats Ohio State, the team that probably will go to the Big Ten championship to play against Iowa is Penn State. And you could see the College Football Playoff Committee saying, well, like, Penn State got into the Big Ten championship on a technicality. Could we still take a Michigan or Ohio State, who they have at number one right now, probably unjustifiably at number one? They were down to Rutgers at halftime this last week. Could we get away with taking two Big Ten teams? And you know that if Alabama keeps winning and they beat Georgia in the SEC championship, there's going to be a temptation to take two SEC teams. So right now, Florida State, Oregon, and Washington are looking at this like, we just need everything to be normal so that maybe our resume can be better than the Pac-12's resume. And that's a really, really tough place to be in. And it's probably the biggest argument for the expansion of the college football playoff, regardless of whether or not 12 is a good number. But if you're Louisville right now, you're like, oh, we literally can't make it. The best we can hope for is to, you know, go 11-12-1 with a victory over Florida State, and 12-1 with a win over Florida State and Notre Dame in any other year would be good enough to make it. But there's no room for error, and Louisville already had their error. So, you know, it's not fair, you know, because so much of what is happening this year is dependent upon the reputation that you built up over time.
Yep. Yep. That is 100% right. So, and I think it also shows that, you know, you could end up with, if Oregon State wins their next two games and then loses to Oregon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could potentially have three Pac-12 teams standing there looking at New Year's Six Bowls with Notre Dame potentially out of the way. But they got Notre Dame at 20 still. And I think Notre Dame is a good team, but that's a little bit – that feels a little bit ambitious for a three-loss – yes, for a three-loss team when they didn't want to give Arizona that credit, and Arizona's ranked one spot behind them at this point in time.
Right. So Notre Dame just got run over by a four-loss ACC team, right?
Yep.
So Notre Dame got run over by a four-loss ACC team. Do you know who else is a four-loss ACC team? Pitt.
Oh, so is Cal. I'm sorry, Clemson.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying is Clemson is a four-loss ACC team. Notre Dame got run over by a four-loss ACC team. So did Louisville. But Notre Dame isn't getting discounted in the same way that Louisville is, because brand recognition matters. And Louisville has and Notre Dame has three losses, including a loss to Louisville, and it still doesn't seem to matter.
Yep.
Louisville's getting no credit here. And so what's super dangerous is what the most dangerous thing is right now for the conferences that are hoping to be able to just sniff the college football playoff is if Utah beats Washington, which is possible. There's almost nothing Oregon can do to say our schedule is deserving.
Yep.
Almost nothing, because there will be built-in excuses for the only way Oregon can get in right now, it's starting to feel like, is if Washington wins out and Oregon gets them in the Pac-12 championship.
Yep. Yep.
Because Oregon might stay at six if Washington loses. They might find a way to put a Texas or Bama in at five.
Yep. Yeah. Everybody is dependent. Yep. Everybody is dependent upon each other at this point in time. So if you're Oregon, you have to make sure that you don't listen to any of the noise, bro. Like, you have to sit up there and be like, nope, 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 nope. We can't drink the rat poison. You had Dan Lanning in their meetings this week. He did something genius. He put up a video of all the people who last year when they lost, saying all these negative things about them, their frauds and all of this stuff. And then all of us, and then he put up a video of those same people praising them right now. And the point was that it didn't matter when they said it then, doesn't matter when they say it now. So nobody wants, so don't listen to the noise. Everybody's praising you right now. The second that you stumble, they will act like you ain't, like you are a turd on the toilet, buddy.
Right. And when does Oregon usually stumble? November, right? And when do these SEC teams typically hold fort and rise? November.
Yep.
What is happening on Saturday, November 18th? This is happening. Chattanooga, UT Chattanooga at Alabama. University of Louisiana Monroe at Ole Miss. Southern Miss at Mississippi State. Abilene Christian at Texas A&M. New Mexico State at Auburn. Florida International at Arkansas. Georgia State at LSU. That's what's happening on November 18th in the SEC.
Dude,
November 18th in the Pac-12 is business as usual.
So is it in the Big Ten. So is it in the Big 12. We need to make a video about that, Ralph. About how these November cupcakes, how they actually impact the college football playoff. Because this is where losses matter. And when you have good conference, and then the 8-team conference game schedule versus 9, that is 4 losses in the SEC that they have to spread around between every team. 4. 4.5 in conferences that play 9 games. Specifically the Pac-12 with 12 teams. 4.5 losses that have to be spread out. So that means you're going to have 6 extra losses through the whole conference that have to be spread out. And throughout November, when the rankings matter and all of that, so now all of a sudden, an Oregon State-Arizona game. Now, the SEC teams that are playing cupcakes, now those team losses lost. Now all of a sudden you got a 3-loss team versus a 2-loss team when they played Chattanooga. Now all of a sudden, that's why they won't move to 9 conference games. And everybody knows it.
Yep.
It's horrendous.
And it's nice to feel like I finally have something in common with the SEC because we're both out here getting fat eating cupcakes in November.
Speaking of a team that's not getting fat eating anything, here's what Jake Dickert had to say about what's going on at Wazoo.
Well, I think it's a great question, you know, because I think in today's world, you can no longer just say like passion and spirit's going to get you by anymore. I mean, it's just completely real that the NIL matters. And the facts are, Washington State, we're way behind. Not even competitive in some aspects of the NIL, right? And, you know, recruiting, these kids tell you what they're getting. You know, so, you know, Oregon State probably has us by 10x. You know, Arizona has us by 20x. I mean, USC, Washington, Oregon, who even knows, right? It's a whole other planet. That's part of what we need, and it's very, very important. In 3 weeks, that is going to be open target season on our players. That's what it's going to be, and it's already started, right? So, no, that's what's coming. We need to provide them with as much resources as we possibly have here to keep this team together, to keep recruiting, to keep going. It's the future of college football. And to ignore it or to ever think it's going to go away, that's a long time in the horizon, right? So I think it's only going to grow in some capacity. And I'm very supportive of the players getting a piece of the puzzle and profiting off their name, image, likeness. I've said that many times up here. But
What did that sound like to you?
The truth. It sounded like the truth. It did come after losing 10-7 to Stanford at home. But to me, it sounds like the truth. And it also sounds like a shot at the NCAA. Because when he says it's already started, what he means is that his players are being actively recruited to join other teams while still in season. We know that happened.
Yes. I don't know specifically for Washington State players, but I know that there are a couple of teams who are looking for quarterbacks for next year already. That they are looking for kids to hop in the portal. And there are feelers being put out already.
It's 4 weeks until the transfer portal officially opens. How many teams do you think have already made contact in some form or another with that Boise State wide receiver that jumped into the portal midseason?
Well, technically he's not in the portal, but
that's what I'm saying. No, that's the point that I'm making. Eric McAllister left Boise State. He's their leading receiver. He's almost got as many catches and yards as all the other receivers at Boise State combined. He left with 3 games to go in the season to get a jump start on portal recruiting. That doesn't happen until the first week of December. That's 4 weeks away. I'm asking you, how many teams you think have been in contact with him prior to the portal?
At least a dozen.
Okay. Isaiah Glass just left Arizona State midseason. He's already being followed by 10 college football coaches on social media that weren't following him last week. Do you think they're making contact?
No, it's a coincidence. No, they just wanted to make sure to follow him at this point. That way, when the portal opens, then they can have a conversation with him. You see what I'm saying? Everything's everything's right and upstanding, Ralph. So I looked at this as a guy who doesn't know it's almost like you don't know where your next meal is coming from.
Yeah.
Cause you Washington State and Oregon State literally do not have a football schedule for next year. They have 3 non-conference games and that's it.
Didn't you have Oregon State, Washington State fans calling you idiots and them saying that they're actually in a better position than they ever could have hoped for because they got all this money in the bank and they're going to be sitting here by themselves? Didn't that happen this week?
Yes, that did happen this week. And I was like, wait, hold up. What are you talking about, bro? So you think because you filed a lawsuit, you think that the judge is going to give even if you get decision-making power, you think that hundreds of millions that have to get distributed to the other teams, you think that a judge, while they're still in the conference and they earned it, forget about the stuff when they leave. You think that the money that they earned this year, that a judge is going to be like, yep, give it to Oregon State and Washington State. When they're still under contract, they're still honoring the television rights and all of the stuff that they're doing right now. You think that the money for this year is not going in those schools' pockets? You have another thing coming, buddy. Another thing coming.
I just want to point out that Jayatha Murthy, the president of Oregon State University, has came out and said that the total athletic revenue will likely fall by about 44% in 2025. Your own staff know, like the president of your college knows you're in trouble. Don't think that even if you do get to control $200 million between two schools, that that's not going to become a problem later on down the line. How many professional athletes and lottery winners go broke? It's a pretty good percent of them.
Yeah.
You're going to get a big financial windfall out the gate. You think you're going to be able to budget your way to, like, your spending is going to have to be cut drastically for sustainability if you don't have a home in another conference. Just because you hit that J.G. Wentworth, it's your money and you need it now, doesn't mean you're not going to need money later on.
J.G. Wentworth, 877 cash now.
Right. You're not going to stop needing cash in the future. That money also has, like, it's got to be spent.
Yes. You're going to spend almost what 60, they're probably spending 60, $80 million on their athletic stuff.
Their 2023-2024 athletic budget at Oregon State is $95
million. Yeah. So if you have hundreds of millions, so like even if you got $400 million, that'll pay for this year, next year, and now all of a sudden you're like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because you literally don't have money coming in for next year. You have 4 games on your schedule. You have your 3 non-conference games and your game against Washington State or Oregon State, depending on what team you're talking about. You don't have much. So, and this is the part that sucks. Because I tweeted out, I said the Oregon-Washington game, the Oregon-Oregon State game not being played is just tough. Like, it's going to take some getting used to. And they were like, Oregon could have done it if they wanted to. How, bro? Oregon has 13 games scheduled for next year. 13. Because they couldn't get out of the Hawaii game for whatever reason. And they're like, well, they could have found a way. I said, Oregon State has 3 conference games scheduled during the exact same, 3 non-conference games scheduled during the exact same time as Oregon has 3 conference games. I'm sorry, 3 non-conference games. So when do you do it? Well, during the conference, you can't. It couldn't be done that quickly. So I'm sorry, it stinks. I hope the game gets played again. All right.
Oregon State's whole schedule is going to look like SEC in November. Next year.
Yes, but see, but the actually no, because the problem is, how are they? Those are buy games. How are they gonna buy them?
They got $200 million.
Maybe we'll see. Hey, speaking of $200 million, your boy Dilly, Kenny Dillingham, has a new brand spanking new contract. Well, contract extension. He got a 1 year deal, bro. 1 year deal. And you can explain to people how this came about for a two-win team?
Two-win team that just got beat by 52. that wasn't the biggest surprise that came in. Well, that wasn't a surprise at all. Brian Ward, the defensive coordinator, he signed a three-year extension. I didn't even know three-year extensions were available to Arizona State assistant coaches. So that was pretty cool to see.
Why? Because they've only done two?
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe I'm not as informed as I need to be, but I was under the understanding that a 2 year deal was kind of it was one of the stumbling blocks with the Board of Regents, that it was made it harder to retain coaches. But Brian Ward is from Arizona. This gives him long-term security in the place where he's from, working alongside a coach who now is his 5 year deal. It continues to be a 5 year deal after this year, because he was told when he signed his initial 5 year contract, coach Arizona State, if ASU faced a bowl ban, that they would extend his contract commensurate with what the penalty was. So if the NCAA comes back and says 1 year bowl ban's not enough, we're gonna hit you with another one, then technically that would also justify another year on top of that for Kenny Dillingham. So Kenny Dillingham's 5 year deal goes to a 6 year deal. I think it's a good thing. He's somebody who intends on being around for a really long time. It's just a matter of whether or not the punishments that exist for this school handicap Arizona State long term, and how much people are trying to hold Kenny Dillingham accountable for the sins of Herm Edwards and Antonio Pierce and Ray Anderson. So shout out to Antonio Pierce, by the way, head coach, Las Vegas Raiders. How about that?
Hey, we got a video coming out on that on the YouTube channel too. So you guys keep it in tune and make sure that you guys are going over there. Check out all of that stuff. Now it is now on to the games, Ralph. On to the games. Or did I miss anything?
No, I think that's all the news. But make sure you hit us up at Pac-12 Apostles on Twitter. I'm Matt at unafraidshow.com. Anything that you send us, we'll talk about.
Yep. It's a fact, Jack. I was thinking about the comment that we got on Twitter from last week that we're not going to acknowledge right now. All right, so the games happened, and we'll start with the USC Washington game. Actually, no, we won't, because we talked about that a little bit. I think the UCLA-Arizona game deserves some consideration.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Arizona, okay. 27. UCLA, number 19, UCLA, 10. This was painful to watch, Ralph. I'm sitting here with my wife, and this was painful to watch because Noah Fifita was absolutely excellent. He was excellent.
Very good.
Yeah, the dude is playing at a very high level. I think it is very clear who their quarterback is now. I mean, I don't think that if... he can't pull him out now, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. You are correct.
Yeah.
Not me, you, if that's what you wanted to hear.
But the reason why it was painful is because you're watching the opposite problem that USC has. If you put UCLA's defense with USC's offense, what would happen, Ralph?
Championship.
Yeah. Like, it'd be the best team in college football. Dead ass. But you had Ethan Garbers come out, and Arizona's defense is underrated. They're playing pretty doggone well. But the UCLA offense has been on the struggle bus. They were on the struggle bus versus Colorado. So I knew that they were going to have trouble against Arizona, hence why I picked Arizona. And then you had Ethan Garbers get hurt. Dante Moore came in. And Dante Moore did not look confident. He didn't look confident when he came in. And then what happened to him? He got hurt. He ends up back in the locker room. So then they got to bring out Colin Schley, who is a runner. He went 0 for 5. Chip Kelly is going to be running essentially Wildcat this weekend because it doesn't look like because Ethan Garbers couldn't even walk. So I would highly doubt that we see him play this week.
Is it going to be Colin Schley versus Cam Scataboo quarterback? We might see 10 total passes.
Or he's going to have to do something with, I don't know, Justin Martin, or I don't know who he's going to bring out of the fold. Yeah, because that's a lot.
Can't have two teams with three quarterbacks each. Two teams with three quarterbacks each, and they're going to face each other in week 11 with probably no quarterbacks.
Yep. And Arizona did a good job of stopping the run. UCLA was...
Did they? 25 carries for 134 yards isn't terrible. That's 5.4 yards a carry. UCLA did a pretty good job of stopping themselves.
Oh, true. I was including that Ethan Garbers. But UCLA typically wants to run the ball significantly more. Like, they want to get up near near 50. So I'm saying that they did a good enough job to where they kept UCLA longer distances.
You're right, because I took out the Ethan Garbers numbers, but I didn't take out Colin
Schley. Yeah.
Schley, right? So I mean that between Carson Steele and TJ Harden, 17 carries for 68 yards, that's actually pretty damn good. So yes, maybe you're more right than I am.
Man, I'm on a roll today. All right, the next game up. Let's go to Oregon Cal. Oregon 63, Cal 19. Bo Nix was sensational in this game. Sensational. There's a video coming out about him and the Heisman Trophy. So Bo Nix was incredible, dude. And if I hear his brother, Tez Walker, again, it's like the thing that I was like, Yogi, please.
You know what? You know what kills me about it is they just throw adopted in there. Like, we can't figure out that these are two different colors. Just say his brother. Yeah, I would be fine if it actually went down the way that you were saying. I would be fine if they said his brother Tez Walker, but they say adopted with a capital A. Like
well,
every 5 seconds.
I think they're trying to emphasize that they're actually real family and not just his brother, man.
Oh, I don't mean this the way that it's going to sound, but Yogi Roth is not one to not hit the hard R.
So stupid.
Oh, he said his adopted brother, Tez Walker. You're not Tez Walker.
Dude.
Like, I did not hear a brother once. No, yeah. Yogi's the best. But like, you don't got to throw out there that he's adopted. Adopted means chosen, right? Adopted means chosen. It means elected. It means brought into the fold, right? You could just say brother. If an adoption is real, that's your brother.
Very, very true. So
saying adopted makes it sound like adoption's not really adoption, that it doesn't count.
Well, very true. Very true. So Bo Nix threw for 4 touchdowns, 1 pick, and the pick wasn't even his fault. His brother, his adopted brother, Tez Walker, on the first play of the game, dropped an interception. If you understand what I mean, he dropped a pass for an interception.
I said Tez Walker. Now you said Tez Walker.
Oh,
Tez Johnson.
Tez Johnson. Lord have mercy. So yeah, he was sensational. You had Bucky Irving was good. Jordan James. Bucky got a little banged up, but he'll be back this week. Dante Dodwell took carries. Bro, this game got out of hand.
Tez Johnson was responsible for 2 turnovers.
Yes.
Or was the center? Was that the center's fault?
I don't know. Because, I mean, they credited him with a fumble, though.
Tez Johnson?
Yep.
They credited his knee with a fumble. Mm-hmm. Got the ball. And they kicked the ball back toward the Cal end zone, and they scored off that.
Yep.
Hey, Oregon scored 21 points in the final 5 minutes of the first half in this one.
Yeah, that
guy. Sometimes it takes a while for the seal to break, but when it broke, oh my lord!
Yeah, when he called timeout on second down in the first half with like 1:30 to go in the second half, he was like that was like a FU. We know we're going to stop you, so we're not even waiting till third down to call a timeout. We're going to make you play football right here. You're not running the clock down. We're going to take this.
I got 2 things for you.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, credit to you, who said if all these other teams scored 50 on Cal, you know Oregon's going to get more than 50 on Cal. And you also said if Cal's getting 25 on these teams, there's no way Cal's getting 25 on Oregon. The score played out exactly the way you said.
And they got a free touchdown.
Yep. Exactly. And the second thing I wanted to throw out there is Justin Wilcox is currently the head coach of a college football team with the 130th ranked scoring defense out of 133. 130.
Oh, I remember you talked about this because the number was like they're giving up an average of like 49 points a game
To ranked teams.
Yeah, and then you said if you throw out Utah, whose offense isn't that great, it's like 55.
Yeah.
And now it's like a million.
So if you include all their games this year, including playing against Idaho, they are 130 out of 133 in scoring defense. And oh my God, like I just think about the fact that they brought back the offensive coordinator that they had under Sonny Dykes, and how his offenses were really good, but it never mattered because Sonny Dykes' defenses gave up 50 a game, and he's right back in the same situation. Jake Spavital has to hate the Bay right now.
Okay, so I had this conversation with Deshaun Foster. I said, so can you have an offense that is so incredibly explosive, like you see at USC, like you're seeing over at Cal, which is doing a good job going fast, all of this. Can you have that and put together a top-tier defense too? I don't know if it's possible because of what we mentioned with Lincoln Riley and your philosophies not matching.
Okay. Yardage and scoring, I feel like, are two different things because I feel like, both can be deceptive, right? But scoring, Oregon is 1-11 right now. They're first in the country in points per game, and they're 11th in opponent points per game. Shout out Greg McElroy.
All right. Yeah. So I guess it can be. It's just tough, bro. It's just very, very tough to do.
If you are the top 13, you're in the top 10% of college football. To me, the top 10% is the elite of the elite. Right now, Oregon has the best offense and an elite defense, in my opinion.
Yeah,
not a perfect defense. They can get got, especially in the secondary. But it's an elite defense at this point in time. It's possible. So for all those people, the USC people that were making excuses for Grinch, they've disappeared, by the way. But for the ones saying it's the way we run our offense that actually causes our defense to have trouble, no, it isn't. 199 yards before contact, that doesn't have anything to do with your offense.
Nope. 100%. Okay, so question here. What do you think about Fernando Mendoza?
He's fun. He's fun as hell.
And that's the quarterback for Cal who's starting right now, in case you didn't know.
Yeah. I don't think he's won a game. And I think he was probably the first one to point that out. But like,
he's been better than anything that they got sitting there right now.
I make the same argument for Mendoza that I make for Trenton Bourget. Do you want your offense to move or not?
Yeah.
with what you have going on right now, do you want your offense to move or do you not want your offense to move? That's it. Because anything else is, we want a quarterback who's not in the building. And that's not an argument that I can entertain with you because that quarterback's not in the building.
Because I actually think that Mendoza, who's young, can develop into a good quarterback.
Yeah, he's fun. He might develop some bad habits playing from behind all the time, but he could play. And the problem for Cal is last year they had two quarterbacks that looked like they could play a little bit, and the moment they looked like they could play a little bit, they ended up a target for other teams.
But were they a target for other teams or they just wanted to get away from Cal?
Great question.
Oregon State 26, Colorado 19. This game
19
was
asterisk. Put an asterisk on that 19 because 14 of that came in garbage time.
Yeah, nothing. This game was nowhere near as close as this score said. And I don't know whether, like, I don't know what to think about that, really. Because Oregon State only putting up 26 points on Colorado is alarming. That's alarming. DJ only completed 50% of his passes.
I thought Colorado's defense played inspired football. I do. I thought they played really well.
They're not good, though. Like, that's
no, they're not good. But you can have a good game every once in a while, and I think they stepped up.
Yeah.
This is why I say that. The longest run of the game for Oregon State came from Aiden Childs.
Yep, 23 yards for a teddy.
That's a huge improvement to me. If you take that 23-yard run out, you're talking about 45 carries for Oregon State. So Oregon State did what they needed to do. They stayed dedicated to that run game against a bad defense. But we're talking about 45 carries for 172 yards.
Oh, so you're
That's what you should get.
Yes, you're under 4 yards of carry at that point.
Yeah, that's – Colorado deserves a lot of credit for the way they showed up defensively in this game. But what happened on offense? Did they do something this week to change the offense, George?
Yes, they demoted Sean Lewis as their coordinator and put Pat Shurmur in place as their coordinator. And because apparently, and there's a video on this on the YouTube channel about Pat Narduzzi and Deion criticizing their players. Deion specifically the offensive line. Hope you guys enjoy it. We'll put a link to it in the description too. So I don't know if this, well, actually, I guess it may have helped Ralph because he only got sacked 4 times this game.
Yeah. Yeah. He only got sacked 4 times, still on pace to break some records. He's a tough son of a bitch, dude. I'm not calling Pilar Sanders. If you watch Pac-12 Apostles, I do not think that you're a bitch. an expression.
Dude, I don't know how this dude is, how Shador Sanders is still walking right now. I can't even imagine what he feels like the day after the game, 2 days after the game. I don't even know how he can practice. Dude, he's getting his ass kicked. This is gross. I mean, it's to the point now that it's painful to watch.
This was the first time, this game against Oregon State was the first time where I was like, oh, a couple of these are definitely him. They're definitely him.
Yeah.
And the broadcast was even calling him out. But at the same time, like, part of the reason he's not getting rid of the ball, and this is just outsider's perspective, he's tired. Mm. He's tired. And sometimes the only thing it feels like he has energy to do is to go down. He looks dog tired out
there. He's got to get the ball out of his hands. Part of it is coordinatorship. But the other part is they can't run the damn football. They cannot run the football. Their running backs gave them 11 carries for 31 yards.
31 yards, yeah.
They were – including the seven for minus 37 from Shador, they were negative 7 yards as a team rushing.
Pretty incredible for Oregon State's defensive rushing stats to go up. for them to take 7 yards away from the total yards that Oregon State has allowed on the season in a midseason game is pretty incredible. They had a long of eight.
Yep.
A long of eight. And we've talked about this. Colorado is, up until this game, when I actually thought they played well on defense, a fully, fully one-dimensional team.
Yep. And you know how many – so Oregon State is third in the conference. They've only allowed 8 rushing touchdowns on the entire season. And an average of 3.37 yards per rush, which is 5th behind Arizona, Oregon, Utah, and UCLA. UCLA has only allowed 1 rushing touchdown on the season and 2.3 yards a carry.
That's what, and I hate to keep bringing everything back to Alex Grinch, but that's what's so fascinating to me is that there are 23 teams in the country right now that do not have 10 rushing touchdowns on the season. Colorado is one of them. They don't have 10 total rushing touchdowns, right? USC gave up 10 rushing touchdowns in the last 2 games combined.
That's wild. So Oregon State, are you concerned at all about them, or was this game just a win is a win?
We talked about the fact that they don't look good on the road and they don't look good against functional quarterbacks. They have played 3 good quarterbacks, and all 3 quarterbacks were able to gash that defense a little bit, right? They had the advantage in this game of Colorado not running a multidimensional offense. If you have a good quarterback and a marginally decent running game, you are going to kick Oregon State's ass.
Okay, so
if you have any holes in your offensive game whatsoever, they're going to exploit it. At this point, it's a skill issue, not a will issue. And I can't fault Oregon State for skill issues. The recruits that they're getting, they're doing the best they can with them.
They got Stanford this week. They cannot slip up against Stanford because they got mofos the last 2 weeks of the season in Washington and Oregon.
And they're in Corvallis. I think the line on that game is like cartoon bird stupid, but like I think that Oregon State will be fine against Stanford.
I hope so. All right. Speaking of Stanford, Stanford, Washington State. Stanford 10, Washington State 7. What happened to Washington State's offense, bro? They're both broken.
Both these teams can go to hell for how they looked in this game. Can go straight to hell. Stanford had the ball. Stanford had the ball at like the 10 going into the second half and tried to run with Justin Lamson on 4th-and-1. They were only down 7-0. They could have just taken the 3 points, and they didn't. And they went into halftime down 7-0. And I was like, that might be Stanford's best chance to score. That might be it. But what I did not count on, was the fact that Washington State's defense would just get tired from all the short yardage stuff that Stanford was pulling, and that they would break down in the second half.
Stanford averaged 2 yards a carry and still ran it 38 times. They're like, F it. We just gonna run it over and over and over and over and over for a long of 13.
This game should have been over when Stanford committed their first turnover in 6 games, by the way. Shout out to Stanford for only having 1 turnover in the last 6 games. But Stanford turned the ball over deep in Stanford territory. Like, Washington State had a chance to put this game away. And instead of running the ball or doing anything to, like, get good field position, kick the field goal, and just take the lead, because Stanford's offense couldn't do anything, Cam Ward took multiple back-to-back losses. He took back-to-back sacks. And then Janikowski missed his second field goal of the season.
I've heard people say, oh my God, Oregon should go after Cam Ward next year. I'm like, no, they should not.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Nah, no, they should not. He holds the ball. He looks very different in bad weather. He will get impatient with you only giving him the short stuff, and he'll try to make some plays down the field, which will get him sacked because he'll hold the ball for too long. But the only reason that Washington State even had 7 in this game is because Cam Ward made a crazy play for a 39-yard completion. This game sucked so bad. It sucked so bad. Stanford deserves credit. Stanford deserves credit, but since being ranked 13th in the country, Washington State has not won.
Nope. Hey, bad luck 13. All right, last game
they
of the
suck. Week. And what's crazy to me, I don't want to.
All right. Utah got a get right game. Sorry.
I guess.
Against Arizona State. 55-3. How did you give Utah 55 points? And I will admit, I did not watch this game, Ralph, because I saw, because I was going to go back and watch it because I wasn't able to watch it at the time. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go back and watch it. And then I looked at the score, 24-3. Then it just kept getting worse. I was like, I'm not watching that. I'm not watching that game. And then you were giving me updates. You were like, Cam Scataboo's our quarterback. And then you were like, Jacob Conover, 5-for-22. Ralph, how did your quarterback go 5-for-22 with a pick? Make it make sense to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I honestly, like, I will say that it says something about you as a person that you saw the score 55-3 and you didn't go back and watch it. And I'm not saying that you're lazy. I'm saying that you're the type of person that if a video came across your timeline that was like, man kicks toddler off of bridge, that you wouldn't click on it. Because that's what this was. Man kicks toddler off of bridge. It was painful. It was very painful to watch. I'll give Utah credit. First of all, Trent Morgan got knocked out on like I think his first drop back. So
yeah, and he was doing better because he was 3-for-6.
Yeah, I told you, I called you before the game and I said ASU starting a freshman at left tackle, this could be bad, and it was. It's not the first time they brought a freshman left tackle into Utah and left taking the worst loss of the season. So it's nice to see this Arizona State team paying tribute to Jaden Daniels' freshman year. But I will say this. Utah figured out that ASU didn't really have an answer for, like, bunch formation stuff. And that's how they scored the first touchdown. They kept going back to it, and ASU was just kind of confused on defense. ASU kept losing players during the game, and there was this camera shot of Kenny Dillingham talking to Kyle Whittingham. on the sideline, and you knew that they were talking about all the injuries both teams had faced, and you just knew that they were both like, this year is insane. Like, and so I don't know. I don't really have much to say about this game other than Utah did exactly what they were supposed
to. They ran for 352 yards on 49 carries.
Yeah. And Jacob Conover should be better than he was. He hopefully with a full week to practice, it looks a little bit different. Maybe Trenton Bourget will be ready. I don't know. But bad game. Sit, stay. Don't want to remember that one. Hey, and I'm really unhappy that they're coming to the Big 12 with us.
Hey, Kenny got an extension, though. So
yeah, well, I did say that 55-3 is going to be ASU's villain origin story. So this is rock bottom for us.
All right. Well, this week we have games, and you got Arizona State at UCLA. Arizona State is in the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all, and UCLA is favored by 17 points, over under 44.5. So basically, you're probably going to need UCLA to score all the points. I am going to go with UCLA. Oh, God, minus 17. I don't even know who's going to quarterback for them. Who's going to quarterback for UCLA? Actually, I'm going to go UCLA minus 17 because they might win 17-0.
Okay.
But I'm definitely taking this under. I am under.
Okay. I don't even have as like, and I'm not an insider, but I'm maybe as close to an insider as you could get on, you know, somebody who knows about what both of these teams have going on. 44.5, I'm definitely taking the under, but UCLA winning by 17. I don't even know if they get to 17. This might be Stanford, Washington State part two. Might be a 10-7 game. So give me Arizona State and the under.
Ooh, you're feeling frisky. Feeling real.
You know, Arizona State's the only team in the Pac-12 right now that can't make a bowl. So just shout out to the Pac-12 going into the 10th game of the season.
I would say Colorado can't make a bowl either, brother, but that's a whole different story.
But technically they can.
Yes.
They're not going to win their 12th game of the season. We know that. But if they win the next 2 weeks, they're still alive. So but that just goes to show, when people talk about the strength of the Pac-12, there is only one team eliminated heading into the 10th game of the season for most teams.
Yep. And you have USC, Oregon. In Oregon, this line keeps falling. Oregon started out like minus 13.5, then it ballooned up to 17.5, and now it's settling in around 15.
Yeah.
I am going to go with, and it's over under 73.5. Oregon might score all 73 points. All right.
The over feels like easy money.
Yeah, this feels like 56-24. 56-24, 56-27, somewhere around there. I'm going to take Oregon and the over because Oregon covers.
Yeah, man, I feel like USC could do the same thing they did to Washington last week and keep it close, but have it not really feel close.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to take USC in this game, and I love the over, but a 2-touchdown loss maybe makes more sense to me. USC can do the one thing that Oregon has trouble defending. But for Oregon to dominate in primetime, they have so much motivation to dominate because this game is going to be on Fox, 7:30 Pacific. A lot of people are going to be watching.
Yep. Yep. Oh, it's actually on Fox. It's not even on FS1. Ooh. See, I actually thought that they were going to get the early game, but thanks to whoever had the ranked game was going to end up with the 12:30 game. And now USC got to play at night in Autzen. Lord have mercy.
Pray. Yeah, being afraid to tackle in sunny SoCal is one thing. Being afraid to tackle when it's 48 degrees out, yeesh.
Yes, and bro, it's gonna be like the boogeyman stepped in there, bro. It's gonna be like the Candyman. All right, you got Arizona, Colorado. Arizona minus 10.5, over under 54.5. I don't believe in Colorado at all right now. They do play better in Folsom. They're not going to get embarrassed in Folsom. So I am going to go, but I don't like this offensive coordinator situation. I'm going to take Arizona minus. Actually, I think it's going to be a 10-point victory. So give me Colorado. I don't feel good about this. Colorado plus 10.5, over under 54.5. I'm going to take the. What's that, 27 each? I'm going to take the under.
Yeah, if it's okay. So if I'm Jed Fish going into Folsom in this game, where you can get your seventh win of the season, you should probably be 8-1 right now. You know, you lost a couple of games you should have won. I have one rule for my players. And I don't care if it makes you look like poor sports, and I don't care if I end up getting fined. No shaking hands, walk right off the field after the game. Because the only way that Arizona's losing in this game is if they lose players. Because if I'm Jonah Coleman, I'm not letting him shake Deion Sanders' hands after the game. If I'm Polito, my coaches aren't letting me get anywhere near Colorado's offensive line coach. Like the only way Arizona could lose in this game is if some of their players get recruited after it's over. Arizona is playing so physical right now, and they're comfortable with giving you yards as long as they don't give up the big play. It's just an awesome, awesome mix of football. And I 10.5 is kind of a wild line to me. I'm 12-14 is where I'm comfortable. So I'm going to take Arizona. And I'm probably going to take the over as well. But I think that this is a guaranteed W for Arizona. And I think that, you just got to watch out for maybe some backdoor recruiting is all.
Hey, because you know everybody's using them opportunities. All right, Utah at Washington. Washington's favored by 9.5, over under 52.5. Oregon ran the ball well on Utah, which is what helped them secure the win. But Utah is going to – I think that this game could be close. I pray Utah does not mess things up. Praying. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, this would not be as bad for Oregon because of what they did to Utah. You see what I'm saying?
In your mind, but those people that vote don't have your mind. And that's why I think it actually would be bad. You need a signature end of season victory. So I think Washington wins, but 9.5, no. I think Utah keeps it close. And transitive property stuff is galaxy brain thinking.
Yes.
But the way that I look at it is Arizona State did not allow Washington to score a touchdown at home. Utah beat Arizona State by 52. Utah will keep this game close.
I believe so as well. Give me Utah and give me we've seen that. I'm taking the under in this game too.
Wow, okay.
But actually, no. I'm going to take the over because I think Utah is going to be able to score. So give me the over. All right, Washington State, Cal. Cal is favored by a point in this game. This is the difference between Washington State getting a chance to go to a bowl game and not, because they're not going to beat Washington. And Cal still technically has bowl hopes alive. So, yeah, I get over under 58.5. I'm going to take the over because Cal's going to be able to score. And then Washington State's going to be able to score because Cal's defense is Swiss cheese. And if Washington State can't score against them, they have bigger problems on their hands. So give me the over, and I'm going to take Cal in this game. Washington State's reeling.
I like Cal. Yeah, I'm with you on that. As far as the total, 58.5. I think a lot of that's going to have to come from Cal. I think Washington State's the one that's having trouble scoring right now after their offense looked so good. Maybe it was really good, but it's easy to figure out over time. But just to be safe, I'll take the over, but I like Cal straight up.
All right. Stanford, Oregon State. Oregon State minus 21. This line feels outrageous. This line feels super outrageous to me. Give me Stanford every single time in this. Oregon State's going to win the football game, but they couldn't do very much versus Colorado. And Stanford, they're going to run the ball. But Oregon State's used to seeing that in practice, so they might be able to stop it. So this 21 kind of feels doable, but I'm going with an over under 54.5. I'm going to take said Stanford Cardinal, and it's a 2:30 game. It's not going to be one of them night fall games. It's going to help them out. And I'm going to take the, as 27, I'm going to take the under in this game.
Yeah, me too. I think it's maybe a 28-17 Oregon State win. I do think that Ashton Daniels didn't display this against Washington State, but I do think Ashton Daniels has the ability to move the ball through the air. Oregon State struggles with that, but ultimately they're gonna win this game.
Yep. All right. The last thing that we have up before we get out of here is what's up with our player picks.
Okay, so you picked Michael Penix, the easy W there.
Yep.
And he probably had the play of the college football weekend.
Yeah, that throw to the tight end.
Fantastic. I had Travis Hunter. He looked really good on offense.
Yeah.
He looked so good on offense that it makes me wonder. But I know he's a corner, but he could play. So you're up 9-6, I believe. And that brings us to this week's picks.
All right. I'll let you pick first since you lost.
Okay. I'm going with Jonah Coleman, University of Arizona running back.
Oh, against Colorado? Damn.
And he's one of the most aggressive runners in all of college football right now. I just really, really think he's having a special season.
All right. I am going to – I almost said Noah Whittington, but no, I'm going with Jordan James from Oregon, running back from Oregon.
RB2, huh?
Yep, I'm going with RB2, buddy. And no, that doesn't mean I know anything. Bucky Irving, from everything that I've heard, is playing in the game. But I can't pick Bucky Irving because I picked Bucky Irving earlier this year. So
if Dylan Johnson got the 199 pre-contact, I'm like, Bucky Irving is going to be – it wouldn't matter if Bucky Irving was in a wheelchair. He's going to get through some of those holes.
That's why I'm saying Jordan James is going to get some carries. So I'm excited about it. All right.
I know it doesn't bother you that USC sucks, but I'm genuinely disappointed.
No, that doesn't do anything for me. I'm just happy Washington won, which I was so confused about. I didn't even know who to cheer for during the game.
All right.
This is the Pac-12 Apostles. You guys, make sure that you guys subscribe, share, tell a friend about it. Peace out. Catch you guys later.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.